All right, let's begin with the market action today, though. Investors not seeing a whole lot in the JOLTS report that we got this morning. Job openings there fell in August, but the numbers did still remain significantly higher from pre-pandemic levels, pointing to the continued labor crunch. Job openings dropped to 659,000, but still 10.4 million available in August. Let's bring in Ted Oakley. He's Oxbow Advisors Managing Partner. And Ted, you know, Jared Blickery earlier pointing to the fact that this is kind of a lagging indicator. So that seems to suggest why we haven't seen a big reaction. But really, this seems to be part of a constant narrative that we're hearing that things are starting to improve, but the labor market is so tight right now. It's really tough for a lot of these businesses to get up and going and meet that demand.
Well, Akiko, I think that's correct, but I also think that a lot of employers have started to understand this the last year and a half, that they can do things where they don't need as many employees. I go to so many places now where they used to have 10 employees and now they have 7. And so I look at what's going on, and they're doing things that are, you know, where you take things out, you order whatever piece of part in advance, a lot of things that change. But I'm noticing that with employers as well. So I think it's both sides. You have to look at it that way. And that's kind of, I think that's where we are right now.
Yeah, and we're expecting to hear a lot of that as we get into the heart of earnings season. Things kicking off tomorrow with the big banks reporting. What's your expectation as we look to this earnings season, not specifically just with the big banks, but overall? It feels like it's sort of a constant stop and go, which is the recovery is still on track. Things are moving in the right direction, but there's a lot of disruptions, whether it's from the Delta variant or just simply from the supply crunch that we're seeing.
Well, Akiko, what happens is, you know, we're looking for just overall, look at S&P earnings for the third quarter. They'll have a good number. The estimates are probably, you know, in the 20s. And so what happens is you're comparing to a period last year where you can do that. And I don't think that lasts much more than maybe another quarter at most. And then all of a sudden you start to compare against better numbers. And so that changes in 22. But generally, I think the numbers will come in okay, but it's like a yesterday number that doesn't mean a whole lot at this point because you're comparing for 12 months ago. I think the bigger problem is going to be going forward, what it's going to do to margins and different things at that point.
What are you advising your clients to do right now in terms of investments as we look ahead to year end? Obviously, a lot of people looking to the next FOMC meeting to get a sense of, you know, the tapering that's likely to happen here. But there's also still a lot of uncertainty over in Washington with those two bills on the table.
Well, you know, Akiko, we're specific stock. We're not indexes or anything like that. And I think the problem for a lot of investors, they're buying the whole market. And a lot of the companies we own, we think can weather a slowdown or anything that happens because we own low debt, you know, high cash, really good growers on the stock side. And then on the high income side, which is a period where we try to beat the bond market, we don't really own any bonds. We own a lot of energy. We own medical real estate investment trusts. We own a number of bank, too big to fail bank preferreds. So we feel like we've got a lot of things covered with what's happening. But in addition to that, we have about 25% across the board that we have in cash, only because things are not cheap enough for us to buy, not because we're trying to time the market.
So specific names here, you mentioned energy. Obviously, you know, there's a lot of concern around the supply crunch, not just around oil, but natural gas as well. I mean, give me two names here that you think really provide some good opportunities for investors who may not be in the space yet.
Well, we own about 8 names, and so it's hard to get down to the two, but I'll give you two that I think the average investor could own. Some investors don't like to own MLPs because of the filing with accountants. And if you look at enterprise products, that's one of our very favorite. And it is a K-1, so you have to factor that in. But if you look at ONEOK, who is another really good company in the energy field, gas pipeline, they're a C corp, and so you don't have that situation going. But in addition to that, we own the Plains All America General Partner, which is really great gas and oil, big oil too. So we we have a lot of exposure, but we own, you know, if you look at it, we own Chevron. We own various things along that line and a small company called Brigham Minerals that is a royalty on the oil price that we like quite a bit. So we have a lot of things in that category.
Ted Oakley, Oxbow Advisors Managing Partner. Always good to have you on the show. Appreciate the time today.